And I wanted to welcome everyone again to the Employment Options Preparing to Work from Home webinar. We are very excited to have each of you today. We have an informative presentation lined up for everyone to help you learn more about working from home and information about our upcoming October 10th online job fair. If you're just joining us, my name is Lori Adler, and I'm a communications manager here at Employment Options, and I'll be your moderator today. A quick technical reminder, if you're just joining in, click step number 2 in the instructions email you received, and that will help you be able to see the online slides portion. If for some reason you cannot access the internet, you can just listen to the audio portion. We wanted to take a quick moment for those of you who may not know who we are to explain a little bit about our company. Our online events are open to anyone in the general public, but on a daily basis, Employment Options is an authorized employment network in the federal Social Security Ticket to Work program. We provide both work at home and on-site job placement services for free to citizens who receive SSDI, disability, who are ages 18 to 64, who want to try working again, and we help clients in 47 states. For those of you on the call who may receive SSI or SSDI, you may be wanting to know what Employment Options offers to our clients. We have over 20 years of expertise as an employment network in helping people with disabilities return to work. We have long-standing employer partnerships, including work-from-home employers. Each client does receive their own job counselor here, and we have a certified benefits counselor on staff. And many of our staff, including myself and Lisa Seeley, one of our presenters, are also Ticket to Work participants, so we are able to relate to our clients and practice the personal touch. To check out our free services and to apply with us, you just go to myemploymentoptions.com and click Apply Now. And we know that some of you on the call may not receive SSI or SSDI, and that's okay. We're glad you're here. Our tips can help any job seeker, and we welcome the general public to our online job fairs and webinars. I would like to introduce you to our two speakers today. Lisa Seeley is a senior employment counselor at Employment Options. She helps our clients in the free Ticket to Work program find work-at-home jobs in the 47 states we serve, and she has been with our company 9 years. Lisa is also a Social Security Ticket to Work program success story, and you can read about her inspiring story on our website. Our second presenter is Veronica Uthery. Veronica is also a work-at-home employment counselor, and she helps our clients find remote work as well. And Veronica joined Employment Options in January of this year. Today's webinar will cover several important topics for you about working from home, including work-at-home challenges, the mental and physical aspects of working from home, resume tips and technology requirements you need to know, work-at-home examples, how to protect yourself from scams, and new hire expectations. And now we are going to go ahead and get started with our presentation. And Lisa is going to get us started with helping us learn what you need to know before applying for a work-at-home job. Lisa, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Lori. Hello, everybody. So before considering work from home, there are some things to think about to determine if this type of employment would be a good fit. People sometimes have misconceptions of remote work being easy or extremely flexible. Here are some things to think about when considering a work-from-home job. Strict attendance policies. Be aware there are no acceptable reasons for being absent during any trainings. This includes illnesses, doctor's appointments, and child care mishaps. Missing even one day will put you extremely behind in class, and it's almost impossible to catch up. These classes have a very fast training procedure, and you must have open availability. Majority of call center work is considered shift work. Schedules will change. You have to be available when employers need you. Being independent. You are not going to have one-on-one training. It is a virtual classroom environment. There will not be a supervisor over your shoulder to walk you through all the material. you will need to be able to troubleshoot basic tech glitches as well. Cabin fever. People tend to feel isolated at times, and in order to avoid this, getting out in the community and interaction with others is pretty important. Some people have trouble with separating work from personal life, so leave work at your desk. When your shift is over, focus on your home life and not on work. So, the mental aspects of working from home. Here are some things to consider. Isolation. So, going back to cabin fever, you know, try and get outside of your work area as much as possible. Separate and balance work and personal life. Lines between work and home can blur. So sometimes work from home employees may get caught up in personal business that they can't finish work when they need to, while others may find it difficult to set a definitive end to their workday, which can affect their home life. Professional frame of mind. Having a daily schedule of getting up in the morning, taking a shower, brushing your teeth, and getting dressed can make a major difference in getting into a professional frame of mind. Not a good idea to roll out of bed and log in for your shift. So coping with isolation, you could be working for up to 8 hours a day. A change of environment will help with feeling isolated and alone. Some ideas to help with feeling isolated are getting to a gym. Not only will it help with socialization, but raises endorphin levels to help with depression and anxiety. Try joining the social club. Interacting with people having the same interests as you is fun. Make a lunch date with a friend or family member. Volunteering at a local charity is very gratifying, especially if it's something near and dear to your heart. Take a class or two at a community college, even if it's a simple certification class. It will get you out of the house and expand on your experience and skills. Believe it or not, they do actually have customer service training classes. So balancing work with personal life, if at all possible, make sure you have a dedicated workspace with an actual door you can open and close. This way, when you're working, you can shut out everyday life. Most importantly, when you're not working, you can shut the door and leave your workday back in the office. Pre-plan meals so that you're not thinking about it while you're working. You want to do your laundry on your off time. Set up child or pet care way in advance. When you have a break, take some time and leave your office. That will help break up your workday as well. If you're not able to physically leave, read a book or do something to take your mind off of work. Utilize your stress management tactics, such as stretching or relaxation techniques. On your days off, do something rewarding for you. You work hard, so reward yourself with something that you enjoy. Doesn't have to be expensive. For your examples would be like get a pedicure or some retail therapy or go out and garden. And next, we will discuss having a professional frame of mind. So a professional frame of mind will allow you to have a much more pleasant and productive day. Following a daily routine will help with feeling professional and productive. Again, rolling out of bed and logging onto your computer is not going to be helpful. You will probably be extremely groggy. Again, pre-schedule time for your household duties, such as meal prepping and laundry. Practice being mindful. Have awareness on the present moment, which is your workday. Leave yesterday behind. Just because you may have had a challenging day before does not mean you will experience the same today. Let tomorrow come on its own. Overthinking upcoming events can cause depression and anxiety. So take things day by day and enjoy your employment opportunity. So there are strong advantages for the disabled while working from home. You are able to work in your own home office. There is no commuting necessary. It can be accommodating for people with both physical and emotional disabilities. For example, if you need oxygen and have oxygen tanks, you can use them while working without being cumbersome. Also, transportation can be difficult for somebody in a wheelchair or with certain anxiety disorders. You will also save some money by not eating out or spending money on gas or dry cleaning or car maintenance services, anything like that. There are no dress codes, so you can dress casual and be comfortable. working from home also saves on pollution, which is awesome for the environment too. So Veronica is going to go into the resume and the importance of having it structured right.
Thank you, Lisa. So let's talk briefly about your resume. When applying for a work from home job, a strong resume is recommended. One of the most important aspects of your resume should be the keywords. So, how do you know which keywords to use on your resume? Easy. Go straight to the job posting itself. Look for words that are consistently repeated throughout the entire job description or that describes traits and skills that the company is looking for. Let's take into consideration the following description. Company X is hiring awesome people who excel in customer service and technical support to join the shared retail team in a seasonal full-time role. Be a part of our supportive and fun team while putting your problem-solving skills to work. The words problem-solving and enthusiastic are important in this job description because they describe traits that the company is looking for in an individual. Next, formatting is huge when it comes to work from home resumes. Most resumes do not make it in front of human eyes, thanks to hiring softwares that are used by virtually every hiring agency out there. The resume you submit is searched by an applicant tracking system, and it is first and foremost looking for keywords. However, if your resume is not formatted correctly, it will be unreadable to the program. Always convert your resume to a PDF prior to submitting it to ensure that it is readable to an ATS and that your formatting stays in one place. Some things to keep in mind when you are formatting your resume are as follows. Do not put any information in your header. Fancy templates do tend to get scrambled. Do not include graphics and charts. And stick to simple bullet points instead of paragraphs. Last but not least, you should ensure that your past experience reflects the job description of the position you are applying for. In the next few slides, we will talk about the minimum requirements needed for work from home jobs. One of the main questions that we get asked every single day is, does my equipment meet the needs of the jobs that I'm applying for? Keep in mind that each work from home company will have different minimum tech requirements. The best way to verify the tech requirements for the job you are applying for is to study the job description or verify the requirements during the interview process. Some companies may provide the essential equipment for your job. However, you will need your own PC in order to run speed tests and complete all pre-hire assessments. If you are required to use your own PC, it will be required that you have an acceptable antivirus protection. Next, Wi-Fi and satellite will not be permitted for most work-from-home jobs. You will be required to have wired, high-speed internet access, such as DSL or cable. Speeds will vary by company. Some companies still require landline for work, but a lot of the companies are going to voice over IP. This is something that should also be asked during your interview if it does not state it in the description. You will notice that as you are reading job descriptions and completing applications, that each position will have a minimum required section. This list is, on average, the most basic skills that you must have in order to land a work-from-home job. Please always view the job description to get the minimum computer skills required for each position. You will typically not see a requirement for typing speed that is less than 35 words per minute. If you know that you cannot type a minimum of 35 words per minute, I recommend that you do a quick Google search for free typing lessons in order to build your resume and skills. You must be knowledgeable with the basic computer skills, which would include cut, paste, and copy, Microsoft Office Suite, and how to navigate multiple browser tabs. The majority of jobs will require that you are familiar with technical terminology, such as abbreviations, and keyboard shortcuts. A few examples of abbreviations would be CPU, which means Central Processing Unit, OS, which is your operating system, and PC, which is a personal computer. A few examples of keyboard shortcuts would be Control S, which means to save the current document file, Control X, which is cut selected item,
and Control Z, undo last action. Again, please read the job description to ensure that you meet all of the minimum requirements before applying to the position. A few of the most common minimum strengths and skills that will be required in a work from home job are as follows. Customer service. This is the basis of all work from home jobs. Most work from home jobs require at least 6 months minimum of customer service experience. Empathy. In customer service, empathy is the ability to have human interaction with a customer. Being empathetic towards someone does not mean that you are agreeing with them. It just means that you understand their truth. The easiest way I find to be empathetic towards someone is to put myself in their shoes. Listening. Let your customers talk and actively listen to what they are saying. Do not jump to conclusions. Do not offer a solution before they can finish telling you about the problem. Let them finish talking and respond in the same words they used. Next, self-discipline. This allows you to juggle responsibilities. A few ways to practice self-discipline would be to set goals for what you want to accomplish each day, have limited distractions and temptations that hinder your progress, and last, give yourself a reasonable amount of time to complete tasks. Patience. So this is a very important one. Customers might ask several questions, be unhappy, or ask you to repeat information several times. Patience is important to keep the conversation on track, remain personable, and provide a positive experience. Friendly and professional communication. You will need to be responsive in a timely manner, as well as communicate with your customers in a clear and easy to understand way to solve problems. Self-motivation in its simplest form is the force that drives you to do things. A few ways to gain more self-motivation are having more confidence, setting goals, and learning a new skill. Problem solving. In many cases, problem solving is difficult because you need to maneuver between company policies and the interest of a customer. So, how can you be a good problem solver? Understand the customer's point of view, identify a problem, and find a solution to the problem. Lastly, time management is important in the workplace to get higher productivity and to reduce stress. Some good time management skills are organization, prioritizing, and planning. No matter what company you're employed with, your home office setup should be the same. You should have a quiet, private space with no background noise. Please ensure that you have a dedicated workspace to use for work, preferably an office with a locked door. A comfortable working environment is key to a productive day. Not only do you want your work environment to be physically comfortable, such as a comfortable chair or an ergonomic keyboard, but you also want your office to be mentally comfortable as well. I recommend to make sure that your office is your safe space, a stress-free environment that you look forward to going to each day. A few examples of how I keep my office a stress-free environment are as follows. I have plants and photos of my animals in my office. I also keep a stress ball and an old diffuser on my desk. And last, my desk is next to a window which gives me natural light throughout the day. One study shows that optimizing the amount of natural light in an office significantly improves health and wellness among workers, which leads to gains in productivity. If you are working in the evening, ensure that your office is well lit. You do not want to be sitting behind a bright computer in a dark room. We previously touched on this, but no Wi-Fi or wireless devices will be allowed in a work-from-home job. Be prepared to be hardwired to your internet and to use a wireless keyboard, mouse, and even your headset. On the next few slides, Lisa will review the different types of work-from-home jobs and industries.
So, working-at-home jobs and industries. Three main categories are customer service, technical support, and sales jobs. There is a wide variety of industries that allow remote workers, for example, cell phone companies, internet service providers, online retailers, and opportunities within the travel industry. We can discuss these with a bit more detail in the next slide. So if you're looking for a way to ease yourself into a remote job, customer service probably would be a good choice for you. This does consist of a large amount of phone work, answering inbound or making outbound calls. You may need to address chat or email inquiries. Your priority is to assist your customer with any questions, complaints, and provide resolutions to their needs. Do this with empathy. You want to have your customer see you smile through the phone. So technical support. Tech support is customer service based, but in addition, you will assist customers with various troubleshooting and technical assistance. Examples of Tier 1 support would be changing or updating a password, setting up a new device or service, diagnosing or rebooting malfunctioning equipment, and assist with navigating through applications or programs. You would follow your employer's protocol in order to escalate to upper tiers. Tier 2 and upper level IT jobs are available depending on your time, experience, and specific qualifications. Sales positions. So there are two different sales opportunities that you can consider. There's either inbound or outbound sales. Inbound sales entails answering inbound calls and signing customers up for products and services they are interested in. Outbound sales are a bit different. It's making outbound calls and asking people to sign up for products and services that they may not be interested in. It's also known as telemarketing. For both positions, sales quotas must be met. If not, you would be ultimately terminated. The ability to secure a sale can be a challenge. You have to be able to take rejection lightly. At times, you can deal with annoyed customers. Learn to not take negative comments personally. But on a positive note, the income opportunities for sales jobs are very motivating. If you have a knack for sales, you can earn an impressive income with all the bonus incentives. So, advancement opportunities. Career advancement is one of the most important elements for employee satisfaction, also retention at a company. The majority of work from home employers do require some sort of remote experience, so no matter how impressive your resume may be, you definitely need to have some remote experience. If you lack the remote experience necessary, try not to get discouraged when having to accept something entry level and needing to work your way up the ladder. With time, you will qualify for management, supervisor, or even corporate opportunities. Some examples of positions needing remote experience would be billing and coding, executive assistants, and upper-level IT positions. Next, Veronica will go into the differences between W-2 employers and 1099 contractor jobs.
Thank you, Lisa. So most people are unaware that there are two different types of work-from-home jobs. You will see W-2 employer positions, and you will see 1099 contract positions. The main difference between an employer job and a contractor job is the forms in which you submit to the IRS. For a W-2 job, you will have income tax, Social Security, and Medicare payments withheld from your paychecks throughout the year. Employers will issue you IRS form W-2 to show you how much you were paid, as well as how much of your pay was withheld to pay income taxes, Social Security, and Medicare. Self-employed independent contractors are paid in full for their services and are responsible for reporting their wages at the end of the year. A few more differences between the two are as follows. A W-2 position will typically have assigned hours or set schedule. There will be no option to turn down tasks and assignments, and there may be benefits offered. A 1099 position will typically have the ability to set your own schedule, the ability to accept tasks and assignments on a case-by-case basis, and no benefits will be offered. On the next two slides, we will talk about the differences in work schedules between both an employee position and a contract position. So you now know the differences between a W-2 job and a 1099 job. Let's talk about the differences in work schedules between the two. For a W-2 job, your schedules will be considered shift work. This means your schedule could be different set times week to week. an example. Maybe it would be 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. one week, and then the next 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. You must have a flexible and open schedule. Please do not make appointments during your assigned work hours. When working for an employer, a W-2 position, be prepared to be at your desk in your home office for your entire shift, meaning the entire time you are scheduled to work. This does not mean you should be at your desk during your breaks. Your breaks are for you. Get away from your desk during your breaks. Make sure you take care of any appointments or personal business before or after your set schedule. To prevent distractions while you're working, make it known to your family and friends when you are scheduled to work. Treat your work from home job just like any other job outside of the home. Confirm that child and pet care is scheduled ahead of time. This goes along with the previous bullet. There needs to be zero background noise while you are working. All work from home jobs have extremely strict attendance policies, especially for their training schedule. Some companies will automatically let you go if you do not adhere to their training schedule 100%. Once you go live and are working, you are expected to be logged in on time every day for your shift. A lot of people have misconceptions about working from home because there are 1099 contract jobs out there. When you are an employee of a company, you should treat it like you are working in an office out in town. You cannot work from a coffee shop or from your friend's house. You must be in your own home office, hardwired to your internet. You will not be able to work while you are on vacation or take calls driving down the road. Some work-from-home companies have extremely high call volume, and you will be receiving back-to-back calls during your entire shift. So next, we will talk about the work schedules for a 1099 job. The schedule is typically quite different. The majority of 1099 jobs do not have a set schedule. The majority of companies will allow you to set your own schedule anytime during their business hours. For some companies, this can be 24/7. For others, it can be 8 to 5. It will vary depending upon the program you are assigned to. Also, depending on the company, some assignments may be declined. Do keep in mind that the majority of 1099 jobs are pay per minute or pay per call. So if you are not receiving calls, you are not getting paid. Also keep in mind that we use 1099 jobs as a last resort here at My Employment Options. We only use these as needed. Most of the time, a 1099 job does not meet the minimum requirements of the Ticket to Work program. And Lisa is going to talk about fees involved next.
Okay, so are there any fees involved with work from home employment? Not all fees are considered scams. The majority of W-2 employers do not typically require any fees, and some of them may even provide your equipment for working purposes. Most 1099, also known as contract jobs, do have fees involved. Some of the most common fees involved in a 1099 are background checks, corporation fees. This would be paid to the state that you work in as a contractor. You are your own boss, so this fee can be very expensive. Platform usage. This is typically a monthly fee that you pay to use the company's platform. Payroll fees, tech support fees, and certification fees. Just an FYI, these fees will vary per company and per program. Some companies do require illegitimate fees that are meant to take advantage of you. On the next few slides, Veronica will talk about how to identify these scams.
We received a lot of questions about how to identify scams. A few key ways to identify scams are as follows. First, look for illegitimate fees. An example would be a request for money, such as wiring money to the company, or request for you to purchase a gift card and give the information via phone or email. Legitimate companies will never send you money to purchase your own equipment or ask for any type of bank or credit card information before the onboarding phase. Never ever accept a check from a company prior to beginning your job. Job offers from strangers. If you receive an email from a stranger and you never completed an application or interview, this is a scam. High pay for simple work. If the listing offers generic language or is too short and sweet, it is most likely a scam. If you see a posting and the rate of pay is too good to be true, do not fall for this. If there are full-time benefits offered for a part-time position, it is a scam. Full-time benefits will not be offered for a part-time position. Some jobs may offer some benefits for part-time employees, but it will not be the same benefits that are offered for full-time employees. Request for personal identification or financial information. These items should only be given after you have completed an application, interview, and signed an offer letter. After you are hired and have verified that the company is legitimate, then it is okay to provide your personal and financial information. Last, suspicious emails and fake websites. And we will go into these further on the next slide. So, do you know how to spot a suspicious email? Let's take a look at these two examples. The top email address contains an S at the end, and the second one does not. If you receive an email from a company with a job offer that you feel suspicious, go to the company website, in this case, My Employment Options, and look for an email address. All of the company email addresses will be alike. In this example I have shown above, anyone could go out and create an email address that writes at My Employment Options. However, no one could use at My Employment Options because we own that domain. This is something very easy to miss, which is why a lot of scammers prefer this method. If you are offered a job and are concerned whether or not the job is a scam or not, check to see if they have a website. If they do, check to see if the website is real or fake. You can do this by simply Googling the website and researching the following items. When was the company first created? If the website was established only recently, this does not mean that it's a scam, but this could be a trigger to look further into the company. If the site contains many language errors or doesn't work properly, it could be a scam. If the contact information on the website does not contain a physical street address or does not make sense, be cautious. A cell phone number and an email address are not sufficient. Do not click on links that someone sends you to verify a company's identity. Instead, search the web on your own with the company name and check location addresses online to see if they match the business. Most companies that you will be applying for will be pretty well established. Keep in mind that even if the company or website is new, that does not mean the company is a scam. A few ways to check how long the company has been in business are as follows. Review the website. This would be the easiest place to start when doing a search on the company. Most of the time, the website will have an About Us page with these details. You can also research reviews. Most legitimate companies will populate on job search sites, and there will be reviews and details about the company. You can also view the company's rating on the Better Business Bureau. This site offers you the ability to see customer ratings, complaints to the BBB, and an assortment of other pertinent information, such as when the business was opened. Once you complete all of the steps to getting hired, you will go into onboarding. So, what is onboarding? Onboarding is the action of integrating new hires into an organization. This includes completing all necessary paperwork to begin working, such as I-9, W-2, direct deposit, and signing an employee handbook. The onboarding phase will vary from company to company. Once you are in onboarding, this should be the first time you're required to give up personal identification and financial information. You should never agree to a background check or credit check until you are in the onboarding phase. Agreeing to a background check with an illegitimate company could put you at risk for identity theft. Be very suspicious if an unfamiliar employer or recruiter asks for your Social Security number, birth date, bank account number, or other private information that could be used to steal your identity. An employer should never request your Social Security number prior to your onboarding phase. It is common for job scammers to try to get this critical information when pretending to hire the victim. And Lisa is going to take it away.
Okay, so congratulations. You got the job. Things to expect within the onboarding process are background checks, credit checks, some drug testing, and new hire paperwork. So employers conduct background checks, which may include credit check, in order to protect against internal fraud and theft. They usually review the last 7 to 10 years of history. So generally speaking, a background check for employment may show identity verification, employment verification, credit history, driver's history, criminal records, and education confirmation. If you do have something that may be a red flag, be upfront about it. This can show that you are trustworthy and not trying to hide anything. If an incident is revealed within the background check, employers can give you a chance for an explanation. Just because you may have something on your record will not constitute for an automatic decline response. So credit checks can provide employers with insight into the candidate's sense of financial responsibility. Employment background credit checks aren't necessary for all employees, but they're strongly advisable, sometimes even essential, for those who will handle large amounts of cash or other kinds of financial transactions, some bookkeeping, or the management of company accounts. They don't receive your credit score, but instead they see a modified version of your credit report. Sometimes some things they do look for are bankruptcies that have not been discharged, any accounts in collections, medical bills will not be considered, so you don't have to worry about those, and some charge-offs. Bottom line is you do not need to have perfect credit in order to pass these credit checks. So drug testing. Drugs can affect concentration and judgment, putting both the drug user and their coworkers in danger between having inappropriate behavior, sick days, and loss of productivity. Testing laws can vary by state, so a typical urine test screens for drugs, including amphetamines, cocaine, marijuana, methamphetamines, opiates, nicotine, and alcohol. Any detection of these narcotics, with maybe the exception of marijuana, will cause you to fail a drug screening. The issue of medical and recreational marijuana use by employees is complicated because the federal government has not legalized marijuana. So some states have legislation that protects medical marijuana users, and others do not. So new hire paperwork. You can expect an immense amount of new hire paperwork when accepting a remote position. A lot has to do with verifying identification. A few examples are I-9s, which are used to verify the identity and employment authorization. They need to ensure you are who you say you are, since there is no face-to-face interaction. Everything is virtual. There's employment contracts. W-4 forms tell your employer how much money to withhold from your paycheck for federal income taxes. State tax withholding forms. Direct deposit form for your payroll purposes. And company manuals. The Human Resources Department can assist with completion of these forms if requested. So, are you prepared? Here are a few things to ask yourself before your first day of training. Do I have a quiet space designated only for work? Are child care or pet care arrangements in place? Have I made sure all my technology works? You should literally plug them in and try them out, make sure they're all in working order. Are you in a professional frame of mind? Think of your stress management tactics and how you can use them when you are working. They do help with maintaining composure and stress levels. Have you prepared your meals? You know, you want to create a menu for your work week and make meals ahead of time. This will allow you to have enough time to eat and relax a bit. Let's go into what your first day of work may be like. So, your first day of work will probably be stressful, and that's totally okay. It's actually to be expected. It's normal to have some technical issues with compatibility to your employer's software or other tech glitches. It may take the first few days of training to get the entire class compatible with systems. Nerves sometimes do take play, which can cause anxiety, confusion, or the sense of being overwhelmed. But I promise you, you will not be the only one with these feelings. Everyone will have questions having to do with company policies and procedures. You are not expected to know all of the material at one time. This is repetitive work, so with time and experience, things do become easier. You will grow confidence in yourself, so try to be patient. Give yourself time to adjust and learn. People have achieved goals and acquired amazing careers working from home, and you can too. So we have a fantastic question and answer section to discuss, but first, Lori is going to tell you a bit more about our upcoming virtual job fair.
Great. Thanks, Lisa. Appreciate that. We are hosting our next free national online job fair on Thursday, October 10th. That is just a couple weeks from today, actually. It will include work-at-home employers as well as employers who may have on-site jobs in various cities in the country. Our job fair event is entirely online and open to those in the Ticket to Work program, including our clients, and also the entire general public nationwide is welcome as well from any state. So be sure to register if you have not, and feel free to share with friends and family. The job fair hours are from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern on October 10th, and just note that is an Eastern time. However, you can attend any time during those hours that work for you. To register for the fair, you can simply visit the website at myemploymentoptions.com and just click Job Fair at the top. The registration area will direct you to a website called Career Eco, which is where we host our job fair. And you can set up a job seeker profile, and if you want, you can attach your resume, but you don't have to. And we are hoping the tips provided today help you if you are looking for work at home at the fair. And remember, if any of our clients are on the call, you can reach out to your personal job counselor at Employment Options for questions about the job fair or today's webinar. On the next slide, you will see the employers who are attending our October 10th online fair so far. We have a great lineup, and it is possible more could be added. Job seekers will be able to network in online chat rooms with recruiters from each company. The companies include Bender Consulting Services, Concentrix, Cotivity, Enterprise Holdings, and Wells Fargo. Now remember, on the next slide, if you or someone you know receives SSI or SSDI and you would like to see if we can assist you, we'd be happy to accept your application. Simply go to our website online at myemploymentoptions.com and click Apply Now at the top. And the direct link is listed on the slide as well. And if you have any questions, you can give us a call at our 800 number, which is listed on the slide, or on our website as well. We also wanted to make you aware of some other career resources or career skills resources and books that may be helpful in your job search, or perhaps you're a job coach. Our CEO, Paula Vaa, pictured on the slide, has written several workbooks that we use with our new clients here. Paula is also the recipient of the Invisible Disabilities Association Corporate Award this year, and that's very exciting for our company. To view Paula's books and resources, you can also visit our website and just hover over the FAQ section, and you'll be able to look at those, or you can even request copies at your local library. And as Lisa mentioned, we are going to go over some of the great questions that some of you submitted on our registration form. And we had a lot of great questions, and Veronica is going to go over the first question for us. Veronica?
Thank you, Lori. So Nicole from Maryland has asked, what states do employers hire from? You can find a work from home job in any state. However, some states are harder to find work from home jobs in due to these three reasons. Employment tax laws. When a company wants to hire someone in a state that is different than the one they operate in, the company has to be able to set itself up to collect employment taxes. Employment tax laws vary by state and even by city. Workspace regulations. This does not mean the size of the workspace that you're in, but rather the employee must have to work a certain amount of hours before taking a break and whether or not the break is paid or unpaid. Each state has different rules, so it is a huge process for employers who want to bring on employees from different states. Other job-dependent regulations. These include in-office meetings, location-based clients, and on-site training requirements. Some companies may require for you to be near a large airport if it is travel intense. Lisa, we'll get the next question.
Okay, thanks, Veronica. So, Elena from Missouri wants to know, are there part-time positions? So, yes, there are part-time opportunities available. The good news is work-from-home employers do offer both full-time and part-time jobs, but I will say there are many more full-time opportunities, but part-time jobs are offered on occasion. It depends on the company's need and the call volumes, but just be aware, you know, most benefits are offered to full-time employees only. And go ahead, Veronica, with the next one.
Our next question comes from Alicia in Oklahoma, and she wants to know, how do I stay motivated? Working in a work-from-home job, it can be tempting to stay in bed all day. But most work-from-home companies do require you to be in a home office, sitting at a desk. You are actually more productive if you get up and start your day as you normally would, as if you had to leave your home to go to a job. A few ways to stay motivated. Start your day off right by having a morning routine. Get up, get dressed, and eat a hearty breakfast. Create a workspace away from the rest of the activity going on in your home. Ensure that your workspace has a door that can be closed and locked. This ensures less distractions and help you focus easier. Also ensure that you have a bright, cheerful home office that you enjoy going to each day. Make the most of saved commute time. You no longer have an hour commute each day. Use this time to go to the gym, get outside, or get things done around your house. End your day on time. When your shift ends, get away from your computer. Leave your office, shut the door, and don't go back in until your next assigned shift. Most people tend to overwork themselves in a work-from-home job, and this leads to being burned out. And Lisa will answer our last question.
Okay, so Kelly from Washington asked, what if you are dealing with several doctor's appointments for a health issue? So that is something to take into consideration when applying for a work-from-home job. It's understandable that you may have doctor's appointments for various health reasons, but you know, remember training has 100% attendance policy. And as with any new job, you probably will not be able to take time off for quite a while. You would need to schedule appointments around your trainings or your work shift. But keep in mind, most employers do give you a weekday off. It just depends on the schedule that you are offered. So that would be the day to schedule any errands or appointments you may have. You may also want to consider a job as an independent contractor, especially if your disability or your illness is unpredictable. These positions do have more scheduling flexibility. But, if the flexibility, is not a possibility, then work from home probably wouldn't be a good fit for your needs. So you might want to consider something out in the community.
Okay, great. Thank you, everyone, for your great questions that you submitted. We had so many great questions to choose from. And again, thanks to Lisa and Veronica for the work from home tips that you provided everyone today. Again, we know that some of you may not be on SSI or SSDI, or you may not qualify for our free services and Ticket to Work. This slide here has some additional resources for you just to help you if you need them. You can email us at help@myemploymentoptions.com, and it's an auto-reply email that can give you a list of resources. If you have any additional questions about what we do, the Ticket to Work program, the webinar today, questions for Lisa or Veronica or Job Fair, you can email me at the email address shown on the slide, and I'll be happy to email you back and make sure that Lisa or Veronica get your questions. You can also go to our website. We have a lot of information and articles and blogs and Lisa's story as well. And we wish you the best of luck in your job search. On the next slide, you will see our social media. We would love to connect with you, and I think some of you are already a part of it. You can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest, and we just started on Instagram. And we post our hot jobs, we have articles, updates, blogs, and about our events. And that does conclude our webinar today, and we wanted to thank you again for taking the time to attend our free event. You will get a follow-up email in about 7 to 10 days, and it will include a copy of the presentation slides and the audio, and you'll be able to click on all of the links that you saw on the slides today. And again, if you have any questions, just visit our website at myemploymentoptions.com or give us a call. And don't forget to register for our October 10th online job fair. Have a great day. Bye-bye.